When I think about my experience growing up here in Sioux City, I think about my five older brothers and sisters and my parents like this umbrella over the top of me that took some hits by the rain that I didn't. When my brothers and sisters came up, they were the colored kids down the street. When I came up, I was the Pierce kid down the street. She was okay. What I really want to tell you about, and what I absolutely dread telling you about, is about my hair. This beautiful mane of thick gorgeousness, it's full of emotional and cultural baggage. Growing up mixed race in the late 80s, there wasn't much representation of my particular hair type. One thing that comes along with my particular pedigree, African-American, Caucasian, Native American, in case you were wondering, is this thick, strong-willed, curly hair. You may find it hard to believe, but I haven't always let my hair roam free like I do now. For most of my life, my hair has been pulled back into a ponytail, a bun, or sometimes braids. Even in my family, my hair was different. It could grow fast, forming tight little ringlets that would turn full Reggie Watts, minus the beard, if tampered with. Also, by the time that I came along when my mother combed my hair, my tender-headed screams of pain were met with an impatient, "I don't have time for this." So she turned me loose with a ponytail and focused on the neat cornrows, painful cornrows, that my sisters received. If you were to look at a timeline of my life, you would see my curls made an appearance all the way through the third grade, until I took part in a slumber party ritual called Let's Play with Each Other's Hair. I only had to play it once to realize it was not a good idea. Though my hair's routine was clear to me, get it wet, use my wide tooth comb, it was overwhelming for my friends, who said, "It's so big. It looks like an afro." Comments that all hurt my tender feelings. I concluded that it would be best if I kept my hair tamed and pulled back as tight as possible. To make matters worse, around the same time, my Girl Scout troop went to the Iowa School of Beauty, where we'd all be able to have our hair done any way we wanted. I was excited for this. I absolutely knew what I wanted: a fishtail braid like Becky Schneider's. I had been surveying my friends, who were almost all white, about their hairstyles that I liked and wanted to try myself. And a fishtail braid and fringe bangs made the top of the list. When I climbed into the chair, I thought I saw something like fear flash across the stylist's face. Despite this, I confidently declared, "I'd like a fishtail braid like Becky's." The stylist replied, "Okay." As she picked at my ponytail holder, pick, snap, pick, snap, finally sounding utterly exhausted, she asked, "Can you take that out for me?" Just like that, pop went my balloon of excitement. Pop went my balloon of confidence that I would have a beautiful fishtail braid like Becky's. I mean, really, how could she do a fishtail with my hair when she can't even take my ponytail holder out? Tears started rolling out of my eyes as I took my hair down for her. It only took a couple of seconds of her timidly touching my hair for me to request, "We just put it in a bun," to which she gladly obliged. To this day, I'm still not sure of all the messages that I internalized during that interaction, but the biggest one that I am absolutely sure of is that when it comes to my hair, I just don't belong. Let me say this. I don't think for one second that stylist was trying to make me feel bad. I think she was just overwhelmed. It's really unlikely that she had ever encountered thick, strong-willed hair like mine. Hair that is snapped, barrettes, hair ties, and combs. Yes, combs. But at 9 years old, it was overwhelming to me that this aspect of my existence would overwhelm the adults. I felt shame that no one could figure out what to do with my hair. Because of that, I concluded it must be wrong. The other messages I took from these experiences were those of too big, too much, too overwhelming. And in a lot of ways, these descriptions matched my personality. There are certain aspects of who I am that can get big, that can get loud. I couldn't have my hair do that in addition to everything else. So I decided to quiet that particular aspect of who I am. Through middle school, high school, and most of college, I almost always pulled my hair back in a bun and never asked a stylist to touch it. To cut my own hair, I'd have a friend hold my ponytail and we would just chop. Sometimes it worked and sometimes it really didn't. Over the years, I've occasionally released my hair when I found a new product that might possibly be able to control it at its whims. But each of those products I tried only made my hair crunchy and not quite what I wanted. When I was in college, I did learn how to straighten my hair, which was an epic task that took 4 to 5 hours. I liked how it looked, but it simply took too much time to do it frequently. So with the exception of special occasions like weddings, when I committed the entire morning to straightening it, no one saw me with my hair down until I was 25 years old. Not until my sister came across a product called Mixed Chicks. Mixed Chicks is a leave-in conditioner that was created by two mixed-race women who realized women like them couldn't find products to wear their hair in a way they felt comfortable. Hearing their story, I suddenly felt I was no longer alone in this experience. Honestly, I have no idea what's in this miracle conditioner. It could be straight mayonnaise for all I care. What matters is that it was made for people like me, and it actually works. The other thing that helped me share my full-bodied, bossy hair with the world was finding someone who actually knew how to cut and style it. Around the same time, a coworker with a mixed-race daughter recommended a tall, talkative, beautifully tattooed white hairstylist who knew what to do with hair like mine. She said Christine would spend the 3 hours to wash, dry, straighten, and cut it. So I went and saw Christine, and she did it, all as promised, confidently and proudly, then had a cigarette afterwards. And that's how it's been for the last 7 years. So that's it, two little things. A hair care product that validated my experience and a stylist who irrefutably knew what she was doing helped me overcome the feeling that my hair was too much. All it required was feeling known and getting the message that I do, in fact, belong here, my hair included.
Shelby Pierce, the co-host of We Are Not a Monolith on Siouxland Public Media, shared her story at Odes Live Storytelling event last month. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week.
My husband didn't hate me, but he was said, "You are fat, you are ugly. I didn't want to marry you."
I got married at 19, thinking my life was about to start. But the abuse started happening right away. On the honeymoon.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It is produced by Siouxland Public Media. Our next event is 7 p.m. Friday, August 4 at B Yoga Studio in downtown Sioux City. The theme is Little Did I Know. Tickets are available at kwit.org. You can also listen to past stories online and learn more about Ode on Facebook. This story was produced with the support of the Images and Voices of Hope Restorative Narrative Fellowship. The music you're hearing was played live by Jesus Iniguez at the event. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
Well, life tasted sweet when I was a bad twin. Devil himself said, waving me by. All of my tattoos, they were of no use. No monetary. Long till I belong. at my window tells me tomorrow. Mean old tornado carries me off, pulls me from bed and bashes my head, carries me halfway across the globe. Ooh, won't be long till I belong.